Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
No, I always forget I have to put this thing in and I always wear the wrong stuff. It's fine. Amen. Thank you for coming out tonight. I know it was a little harried getting here with the weather. A little bit crazy. There was a couple people that ran red lights in front of me and I was like, I'm going to either kill someone or get killed tonight. So this is not going off good. It was not you, probably not. So, you know, I was talking to Renee earlier, and I hope y'all know that when I preach, and when I bring a message, it is for your benefit. And when I say things that might hurt a little bit, it's for your benefit. And I remember, I've been serving God for over 20 years, and I remember being a baby Christian, and, you know, I was born again, I was full of the Holy Spirit, and my pastor one time, well, not one time, lots of times, he would say things I necessarily didn't like. And I remember one of the things he said one time was, you should be in church every time the doors are open. And I remember this. And I remember, like, who does he think he is? And why is he telling me I need to be in church? And why would he, you know, who does he think he is? And now being in the position that I'm in and actually growing and maturing in the Lord and realizing that I was a rebellious, still young Christian, I was still rebellious, that he had nothing to gain by telling me that. Nothing. And I had everything to gain. I had everything to gain because my pastor knew what I didn't. He knew that being in the house of God, being in fellowship, being in Bible study, being in prayer service, being in these things was going to grow me. And me showing up or not absolutely did nothing for him. It didn't benefit him one way or the other. So it was entirely for my benefit when he told me those hard things that I didn't want to hear. So if you hear something hard tonight, please, just receive it, okay? Don't say, who does she think she is? Are you talking to me? Yeah. You talking to me? I never have anybody in mind when I write my sermons, okay? I try to seek the Holy Spirit on it and be led by the Spirit. So if you're like thinking, man, she wrote this for me, I didn't. It's the Holy Spirit wrote it for you. So this year, and I, at the beginning of the year, I always like to pray and kind of, you know, seek direction from the Lord, from my own life and stuff. And so the Lord really laid on my heart this year that we were going to have a theme for our women this year. And it's going to follow up with our women's retreat. You know, we have themes at the women's retreat, but we're going to carry this into our women's retreat. We're going to carry it through the year. And the theme this year is, I am strong. And you might have seen some of us posting things on Facebook, and we're like, hashtag, I am strong, right? That's a new thing for me, okay? I'm not young. I was like, what? Hashtag, I am strong. Okay. But anyways, we've been posting that on there, and we're going to talk about this tonight. In Ephesians 6:10, and this is the scripture that God gave me, and it says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And the Amplified says, it amplifies that word strong, because that word strong literally means to be empowered. And so it means draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him and in the power of his boundless might. This encapsulates the idea that in Christ that we can do more than just get by. That we can literally do more than just survive. Through Him, we have endless power to be victorious and overcome every situation that comes our way. Any situation, any circumstance, we have the power in the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, to overcome every situation and circumstance that would come our way. Every single situation and circumstance that would come our way. We have endless power. I like, you know, if you were in my Bible study, you're going to hear some of this because that's probably why I was saying it, because it's in my sermon, so it was in my heart already. But you know, David had the mind of the Lord. And if you read the book of Psalms, man, it is all about what he could do through the power of God. What he could do through God's strength. And we talked about it in our women's retreat last year, right? If you remember, ladies, actually 2 years ago, it was the powerful woman, right? And it was Psalm 18:29, where David says, "In your strength, I can crush an army, and with my God, I can scale any wall." That David knew that with the power of the Lord in his life, he could go up against any army and crush it. Right, and I think about David, and this was the same shepherd boy that as a young man went up against Goliath with just a sling and a stone. He wasn't a warrior. He wasn't a mighty warrior. He was a young shepherd boy that withstood an whole army while everybody else, while all of Israel trembled. He came forward as a boy and said, "Oh no, you're not going to come against my God." As a young man, he knew the power of the Lord that resided upon him. He had a mindset that said, "This enemy is going down." He had a mindset that said, "This enemy will be defeated because you cannot stand against the living God." Right? And his words are in 1 Samuel 17:45 through 47. And David said to the Philistine, he said to Goliath, he said, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and I will take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And I don't know about y'all, that sounds like somebody that had the mind of Christ, that had the mind of the Lord, that said, "Nothing is going to defeat me. And if you're not coming with me, I'm going alone, but that's okay because I'm going in the strength and power of God Almighty, and you cannot stand against me. No army can stand against me." He talked the only talk that he knew. He talked of victory. He talked of power. He talked of strength. And now we say, David had one song and he played it well. "The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" We even sang it tonight at Psalm 121. "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord." He knew who his help was. He knew where his help came from. Therefore, he didn't fear. There was nothing that he knew he couldn't come up against. He knew the power of the Lord in him. He walked in it. He talked of it. He lived out the power of the Lord in his life, and he didn't fear. He walked it out in everything he did. He had a victorious mindset. He had a victorious mindset. Not a victim mindset. A victorious mindset. Paul tells us that if we are in the Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. We have access to the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:10-16, it says, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So he says, if you are in the Spirit, if you've been born again of the Spirit of God, we have the mind of Christ. I should say, we have access to the mind of Christ, because not everybody walks in the mind of Christ. We have access to the mind of Christ. So if we have access to the mind of Christ, why then do we not live in it? Why then do we not walk in it? Why then do we not talk in it? Tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit about a victim mindset. Where's Emily? I told Emily about this, and she's like, yeah! And so, this is a victim mindset is not a disorder, okay, ladies? It's not a disorder. It is a learned behavior. It is a psychological term. It is learned. It is a learned behavior. It is an acquired, learned personality trait in which a person tends to regard herself as a victim of the negative actions of others and to think, speak, and act as if that were the case, even in the absence of clear evidence. It depends on habitual thought processes, and attribution. It's habitual thought process, right? Thinking the same thing over and over and over again. Interesting enough, they think that it starts in childhood. If you don't get one of your needs met, if there's not a psychological need that's met, the child will begin to dwell on that, and we carry it into our adulthood. This mindset. Now, because it is learned, it can be unlearned. But it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. Now, I'm gonna go through these, and I want you to listen closely, because maybe one or none apply to you, or maybe a couple apply to you, okay? But I want you to think about these things as we talk about these, as we go through it. Say, is this me? Do I do this? Because all of this is wrong thinking. It is wrong thinking, and it will keep you in a victim mindset. It will keep you as a prisoner in your own mind, and you will never put on the mind of Christ and be victorious. The victim mentality is a learned and acquired behavior, which means that it does not have at its base any biological or genetic workings. It is something the person has brought on due to constant churning and spinning of negative thoughts. It's a constant churning and spinning of negative thoughts. It's that constant worrying, right? Negative thoughts over and over and over again. The victim believes she has been wronged. In the true sense of the word, a victim is described as someone who has been harmed, even though she was not responsible for the incident and could not prevent the same, and therefore deserves empathy, right? That's what a true victim is. But people who have a victim mentality are always under the impression that they have been treated unfairly and have been wronged against without any fault of theirs, even though there is clear evidence that proves that they were responsible, either completely or partially. The victim believes she has no control over life. These people believe they have no control over the outcome of anything and therefore shed responsibility. Think about it. Think about this as I'm going through this. Do I do this? Because if you do this, you need to undo this. I'm bringing it to you so you can say, I need to unlearn this. I need to unlearn this. When faced with negativity or setbacks in life, they refuse to do something about it and move on. Instead, they focus on the negative, playing it over and over again in their head, and thrive on the drama. Notice it's that over and over again. It's that over and over again. I have no control. It leads to believing in the worst. People who adopt a victim mentality are a classic example of pessimists. They look at every situation as a potential wet blanket. They feel the world is out to get them, even though there might be evidence pointing otherwise. The world is out to get me. It is rampant with negative emotions. The victim mentality leads to people constantly being guided by negative emotions like anger, fear, and sadness. And there's always a suspicion of the intentions of other people. Right? And folks, one of the major things of being a Christian is we are not led by our feelings or our emotions. We have to be led by the Spirit. And so, and I do this in my own life. Anytime I feel like I'm being led by any kind of emotion, I have to stop and think. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm being led by emotion. I need to seek God. We can't be led by emotions. The victim expects sympathy. One of the main characteristics of this behavior is that the victim expects sympathy for all the bad things that she has gone through. She wants attention and constant validation from others that she has suffered a lot, even though she did not deserve it, or how brave she is for having gone through so much and is still managing to go on in life. It is, right? It's the... Folks, these things need to be unlearned. Okay? And if something sounds familiar, you're like, man, I do that. Well, you can learn to undo that. You can learn to undo that. The victim plays the blame game. At no point will the victim take responsibility for what she's going through. Instead, she will shift the blame onto others and hold them responsible for all her misfortunes and troubles. It's everybody else's fault but mine. Right? I can't do anything about it. It's your fault. The victim is stuck in a self-pity mode. One of the most prominent signs displayed by a person with a victim mentality is playing the self-pity role well. She believes that life has dealt her an unfair hand and is constantly seen lamenting with sentences like, "Why me? Why me?" She also believes that others are luckier, happier, with better lives than her, and she is suffering more than anyone else. These are real things. These are real things. And you can read it on Facebook. Right? And the victorious person is an overcomer. Not a woe is me, but an overcomer. The victim spins tales of woe. In order to continue garnering sympathy and compassion, the victim begins to spin tales of woe. These may either be exaggerated versions of what really happened, or they might be downright lies. She needs to do this because she has gotten used to living in the shadow of sympathy, so she has to constantly spin better tales to elicit the same response from people. The victim is defensive. The victim develops a negative outlook wherein she believes that everyone is out to get her and bring her down, such that whenever someone says something about her, no matter how neutral it is, she immediately attaches a negative connotation to it and goes on the defensive. The victim puts herself down. The victim develops a tendency of putting herself down. Due to self-abasing quality, she is low on confidence and self-esteem. She is also seen to commonly use terms like, "I can't," watch out for these words. This is negating one's ability, and I must, having no choice. I can't, I must, right? It takes away that ability to make a choice. A lot of y'all know I met my biological father in 2003, and you know, he had some anxiety problems, and he came to visit me one time in 6 years. And after a couple of years, I called him up and I was like, "Dad, you need to come visit me if we're going to have a relationship. You need to come visit me. I have a family. Our church was brand new. I said I can't leave here. You're retired. You can come visit me. I need you to come visit me." And he said, "I can't." And I said, "No, you're saying you won't. You can. But the victim says, I can't because I'm subject to my circumstances. I'm subject to my emotions. I'm subject to my feelings. I can't." A person who's blind can't drive, or probably shouldn't drive. Let's put it that way. A bird, right, can't live underwater. But I can't. We have to watch that. I can't. It's negating your choice. And it's saying, I am victim to this. The victim refuses to analyze and improve. When people around her notice her self-victimization tendencies and initiate ways to tell her about her self-harming ways, she refuses to analyze her actions and thereby fails to improve as well. The victim has passive-aggressive tendencies. These people are extremely passive-aggressive in their dealings with others, being low in confidence and having conditioned their minds to believe in things like, I can't and I have no choice. They cannot express their anger in proper ways. As a result, they tend to sulk, withdraw, lie, make excuses, and purposely spoil a task. The victim sets herself up for failure. They are so self-defeating in their actions and words, it is almost as if these people are masochistic by nature and that they thrive to hurt themselves. They will purposely get into situations that will lead to harm, and even though there are better choices to be made, it seems like they are putting themselves up for failure. Folks, the victim sees themselves in a world that they are powerless to change, powerless to do anything about. They see their circumstances and they say, I can't overcome this. I can't do that. But the child of God is not supposed to look at that. The child of God isn't supposed to look at our circumstances. Isn't supposed to look at how I feel. Isn't supposed to look at what I like or don't like about something. The child of God is supposed to look to our Heavenly Father and say, "In you, Lord, I can crush any army." It's a victorious mindset. And it's a shift. It's a change. You have to change your thinking. You have to change your thinking about things. The spirit-filled child is not a victim in a fallen world. We're not victims in a fallen world. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are the head and not the tail. We are the first and not the last. Right? The Bible says that we can overcome anything through the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, "Look to me. Look to my strength. I will help you." Where does my help come from? But if we stay in that prison in our mind that says, "I can't," you're going to stay in that prison in your mind, and you literally can't. You will stay there, and you can't, and you won't. And we can't, won't, no, don't. This is going to take some work on your part. It takes work to change our thinking. It takes work to change our mindset. And especially if you've been doing it from a child. If you have brought this up with you as a child, it's going to take a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to do this. But you can do it. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do it. You know, and I meet people all the time, they're like, well, Pastor Crystal, you don't understand. You don't know what I've gone through. And I'm like, really? Because I think people look at me and they expect that this is how my life has always been. Not so much. I didn't have a dad. I didn't know my dad. My mom was an alcoholic. Really bad. She did a lot of drugs. I grew up around drugs and alcohol my whole life from the time I can remember. I remember being 4 years old and my mom was having a big Coke party and there was orgies going on. When I was four, my mom gave me marijuana when I was nine. I started dropping acid when I was 13. That's how I was raised. I was raised as a victim. My mom put me in circumstances where I was sexually molested by two different men. I had a woman that put a knife to my throat and gave me drugs and made me do things to her sexually. It was so detrimental, my thinking. I had repressed that memory. I never thought repressed memories was possible. And I had repressed that. But I am not a victim. Because when the Holy Spirit came in, He changed my life. He changed my thinking. He gave me the mind of Christ. And I had to respond. I could still be thinking like that. I wouldn't be standing here, I'll tell you that much. If I still thought like that, God would not be using me. I might be on a pew somewhere. Who knows? I might be in a bar somewhere. I tell you this, I'd be married about 12 times, though. Maybe I just want to marry him anymore after a point. I'm just like, let's go on the next. How are you talking? Are you talking like you are victorious, or are you talking like you're a defeated victim? How are you talking? Right? And here's the thing about words, folks. Words are powerful. There is power in our words. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Right? And people say, oh, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Yeah. How many of y'all remember what you were called as a child? And that still sticks with you. Right? Those words are powerful. And then we're told that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is in our heart? Because whatever's in our heart, if we have a victim mindset, if we have that victim mentality that says, I'm a victim, I can't change, I'm always going to be this way, it's going to come out our words. And that's what we're going to be speaking, and you're going to be speaking death. You won't be speaking life to your situation. You'll be speaking death to your situation. And you will stay in the prison of your mind. Ladies, this year, we will talk like we are victorious and like we can overcome anything and every situation in the strength of the Lord. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to hold each other accountable to it. We're going to hold each other accountable. If you don't want to be a part of it, you say, shut up, don't tell me that. But this is what we do. This is why we're in fellowship with each other, one another, is that we can say, sister, that is not of God. Let's change our words. Let's change the way we think about it. Let's start speaking life over that situation. Let's speak life over that. Let's speak life over our circumstances. Let's speak like we are victorious soldiers of God and not victims in a fallen world. And when you begin to speak like it and act like it, you'll begin to believe it. Because I've usually found that the belief follows that. The belief will begin to follow my words. My actions will begin to follow my words. But first of all, I've got to change my words. So therefore, I've got to change my heart. Therefore, I have to change my thinking about things. You have to change your mind, right? Romans tells us that we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It says, do not be conformed to this world, and this world will tell you you're a victim. And you'll get that a lot out in the world, in your workplace or, you know, on the job, wherever you're at. You're going to get that a lot from people. You're a victim. You're a victim. Let me pat you on the back. Woe is you. Right? We're not supposed to be conformed to the world's thinking. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we've got to renew our mind to the Word of God. This new mindset means we must cast down old thinking, these old strongholds, and be renewed with the mind of Christ. Folks, and these are strongholds. They are strongholds. How do you tear down strongholds? Strongholds are built upon error and falsehood, and it is through the truth that you tear down the victim thinking pattern. It's through the truth of God's word. Strongholds are built when we accept and receive error and begin to meditate on them. That's how a stronghold is built, right? That victim mentality is that meditating, is that over and over, and that turning of the negative thoughts. So that builds a stronghold in our mind. It forms in our minds what is known as imagination, that is a false concept that we believe to be true, but in reality it is not. The Bible speaks about these imaginations clearly and shows us how they can be torn down. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So he says, you've got to cast down everything that is not of God. And all of this victim mindset is not of God. None of it is of God. So he says, you've got to cast that down. You've got to take hold of it, and you've got to cast that stronghold down, and then you've got to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. How many of y'all know when you have wrong thinking? Right? I mean, sometimes we'll go through the whole day like, man, what have I been dwelling on all day long? What have I been thinking about all day long? Thoughts are powerful. They are powerful. This is why we've got to control our mind. We've got to control the thoughts coming in. We got to control the words coming out. We know that strongholds and imaginations must be cast down. But how? By being transformed through the renewing of our minds, right? Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." What God says is good. What God says is acceptable. What God says is perfect. What God's will is, right? So how are our minds renewed and cleansed? Through the washing of the word, our minds are transformed and strongholds are torn down. Spending time and meditating on the word of God washes our minds and corrects our false victim thinking. Ephesians 5:26 and 27 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. As we meditate and wash our minds with God's word, we'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and we will come to know the will of God. We will be able to discern what is right, perfect, and good. Our strongholds, which are based upon error and deception, will not stand a chance as the light of God's word is shed upon those areas of our mind. Now, in my 20 years plus serving God, most people do not meditate on the word of God. I'm just telling you, most people aren't in the word like they need to be. They will read maybe a little daily bread, a little scripture, and then go on their day. And I'm telling you, if you're going to change your thinking, it's going to take more than that, ladies. It's going to take way more than that. It's going to take you digging into the Word of God. It's going to take you meditating on God's Word. It's going to take you finding out what God says about a situation. And you, because here's right, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we've got to get that word in our heart, not just in our head. You can't just get it in your head. You got to get it in your heart. And I remember when I came to the Lord, I would spend 3 hours a day in prayer and studying my Bible, meditating on God's word. I just had my Bible. I didn't read any other books. And I would sit there and I would memorize God's word. Because one of the first scriptures I memorized was, "Thy word, God, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." Psalm 119:11. "Thy word, God, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." And I wanted so bad to know God. I wanted to be connected to him. I wanted to know what he thought about every situation. And so I would be on my exercise bike and I would just sit there and I would memorize his word over and over and over, meditating on it, ruminating on it, churning on it. Notice, churning on God's word as opposed to churning on negative thoughts. Churning and meditating on God's word as opposed to churning and meditating on negative thoughts, on my victim mentality, on the woe is me. I had lots of woe is me moments. I did. When I came to the Lord, I had nothing. I had nothing. I had one pair of shoes. I know, right? Sad. I had one pair of shoes. Oh my gosh, what the heck was I thinking, right? I had literally left everything I owned. I had one small suitcase that had a few clothes, some toiletries in it. And I went back to Texas because I knew God wanted something from me. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what was doing. I was living in a bad place. I was living in adultery. I was doing all sorts of things. And I had nothing. I had nothing. I didn't have a car. I mean, I was 22 years old and I had no car. I didn't have a house. I left my car. I left my house. I left everything I owned. And I had nothing. And I was laid bare before God. I mean, the room that I stayed in, literally, you could put your hand, it was a prison cell. It was, I mean, literally, it was this, I could touch from wall to wall where I lived. I had nothing. I had nothing. And so I was like, what was me? I have nothing. But I knew I couldn't live in that mindset. I knew I couldn't live in that mentality. I knew it was going to get me nowhere. And as I began to fill my life and fill my heart with God's word, I began to actually believe God's word. Imagine that. I actually began to believe that God's word was true. I actually began to believe what God said about me. I actually began to believe what I could do through him. But it takes that meditating on God's word, putting in your heart. Man, you got to have something to pour out of. I wish I could make every one of you go to Bible school. Not seminary, my Bible school. Where I sit 8 hours a day and I sit with your Bible and, you know, hit you with a ruler on your hands when you're falling asleep and... Because there's strength in knowing God's word. There's strength in putting God's word in your heart. And there's power to draw from God's word. When you're in the middle of a situation and that word is in your heart, you draw from that. You draw from that. Otherwise, you're sitting there going, what do I do? What do I do? If you want strength to overcome any situation, you have to be full of God's word. And this is how we get by in life. The power of the Holy Spirit in our life, the power of God's word. We've got the Holy Spirit to draw on his strength and power. We got the word of God to rise up within us. It's life. His word is life. I love that God says, my word will not return void. It will accomplish that which I sent it to do. So when I'm full of God's word and I speak it out, it's going to accomplish what God sent it to do. He watches over his word to perform it. And so when I read things about me, what I can do in his strength, and I pray that, God says, I'm watching over that word to make sure it comes to pass in your life. Otherwise, we're speaking death. We're speaking death. This is what David and Paul knew. This is what David knew. Man, read the Psalms. Read the Psalms. David said over and over again, in God's strength, what he could do, what he could overcome. Who he was, where his security came from, where his safety came from. Right? Read about Paul. My goodness. Look at all the stuff that Paul went through and Paul did by the power and strength of God in his life. He could do anything. And he knew it. I cannot tell you how many times I've had to preach and I was sick. Just, you know, I was talking to Renee here tonight. Did you know that she just had chemotherapy today? And she said, I'm going tonight. So I'm going tonight. In God's strength, I'm going to be there. And I said, you just made a sermon example. Just back in December, I was preaching on a Wednesday night and I went home and I had fever and chills the whole time and I went home and barfed afterwards. But God gave me strength. He gave me that strength. On my own, I can do nothing. But in him, I can do all things. I can accomplish all things. Since we've started the church, I've had two operations. I've had several procedures. I've had chemotherapy on my skin for cancer cells. I had my heart jumped. Y'all remember that? I had my heart zapped back. I'm now currently on a blood thinner and a beta blocker. I have Raynaud's disease. That's where your hands and feet turn blue and cold, and you can't feel them, and they ache really bad when they get cold. My hands and feet ache really bad. I have poor circulation and pain in my hands and feet. I have horrible allergies. I have sinus pain and pressure, migraine headaches, and serious digestive issues. Y'all probably don't want to know about that. But I've never canceled my time to preach. My son was born on a Wednesday and I was in church on Sunday. My home church in San Antonio was 40 minutes away without traffic and I was there every Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, twice on Sunday. Plus I worked full time and I went to college full time. I remember the death of my grandmother and my grandmother was my mom to me. She was the only person that had any stability in my life. She was the only person that was there for me in my life. And when my grandmother died, it was devastating. And the only place I wanted to do was run to the altar. Because that's where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. That's where my strength comes from. That's where my help comes from. I'm not going to sit at home and cry. I'm going to come to the house of God and I'm going to cry at the altar where God meets me every single time. Not that God's not at home too, but folks, there's something different in the corporate body. Man, The Holy Spirit is so strong. When you're with your brothers and sisters in Christ and you pray for each other and you lift each other up, there's no place I'd rather be. My strength comes from the Lord, not my flesh. I don't always feel good. I'm often tired or sick or just sick and tired. I have a family that I take care of who rely on me, plus a whole church that's relying on Pastor Matt and myself, which comes with a responsibility, the awesome responsibility of having to answer to God for all of y'all. That's a big weight, ladies. It's a big weight. It's a big weight, the burden that God has placed on Pastor Matt and mine shoulder, that we are responsible to hand you guys to God. And I remember when we started the church, folks, and in the first 5 years, every single event was at our house. And we would do men's events at our house and women's events at our house. And we'd have boils, probably Wendy remembers. We'd have hot dog boils after service all the time, right? And I'm an incredible introverted person. And being around people is oftentimes really hard for me. And I remember I had, for a good probably 6 or 7 years, I had horrible panic attacks. I had horrible panic attacks where I'd end up in the ER. I wouldn't sleep. Sylvia probably remembers that. I wasn't sleeping good at all because of my panic. I'd have anxiety and depression. But God is my strength. I never said, I can't. I never said, I can't. I never said, I won't. I said, God, here I am, use me. And I don't care how I feel. I don't care what's going on in my body. I don't care what's going on and around me, God. You are my strength, and by you, I can do anything. Then I'd go home and crash. But I'm not going to allow my body, my circumstances, how I feel, to dictate what I can and can't do for God. That's just me. I don't allow it. I don't care how I feel. I say, flesh, you're not in control. The Holy Spirit's in control of me. I'm not going to walk in my flesh. I'm going to walk in my spirit. And I'm going to set aside how I feel about things. I'm going to set aside all my anxiety and all my panic and all my depression. And I'm going to step out of myself in the power of the Holy Spirit and do what God has asked me to do. That's just me. Because I decided a long time ago I'm not going to be a victim. Not to myself, not to my flesh, not to my circumstances. I'm not going to do it. Unless I'm bleeding out my eyes, I will be here. You know, I was hoping Renee was going to play this tonight. I almost asked her to, but I was reading about Great is Thy Faithfulness, because that song has been on my heart for the last month. Great is Thy Faithfulness. And the man that wrote this song, he didn't get saved till he was 27 years old, and he had a serious illness in his body. And after he got saved, he became a pastor. But because of the illness in his body, he couldn't pastor any longer. So he pastored for about a year, and then he had to get a desk job. And he wrote this song because he said, it was the strength of God that got me through my life. In the midst of my illness, in the midst of my pain, and sometimes because, you know, back then he couldn't rely on the government to provide for him. He had to work, and sometimes he had to work several jobs with his illness. He had to go out and do several jobs, and he said, by the strength of God, I can do this. And he wrote, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And he wrote it as a poem, and he sent it to his friend, and his friend actually is the one that made it into a song. But he says, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou dost not change thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Someone that drew upon the strength of God his whole life in the midst of a serious illness and said, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to lay down. I've got to provide for my family. Great is thy faithfulness. That's not a victim. That's someone that said, in God, I can do all things. In God, I am victorious. In God, I can overcome. I am victorious. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 32. He says, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I've been in the deep, in journeys often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak, am I not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. I don't know, but that sounds like a lot. So far, I haven't been shipwrecked. I haven't been beaten. I haven't been stoned. Well, that kind of stoned.
Never mind.
Weariness, toil, sleep and suffer, and hunger and thirst, and fasting and suffering, and cold and nakedness. My deep concern with all of the things, right? With all the things, my deep concern for the church. Folks, I can't even tell you how many times people have written Pastor Matt and I ugly emails. Ugly emails, ugly words they've said to us. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Ladies, we have to stop making excuses. Paul said he put no confidence in his flesh because the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. And this is why we are told to walk in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. We will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I don't think David looked at the giant and said, he's too big and strong, I can't. He would not be in the Bible if that was David's story. It's too big and strong, I can't. Right? What did Jesus say to the tomb? He didn't say, well, he's dead, everybody go home. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. If we have the mind of Christ, that needs to be the same mind in us that speaks life to those dead situations, that speaks life to those circumstances, that speaks victory to those circumstances, that says, he may be big, he may be strong, but he doesn't have the Spirit of the Lord. There might be an army camped against me, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You may be on your deathbed, but greater is he. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. You are great to give me strength. You are great to have me endure. Do you look at your mountain and say, it's too big and too strong? I can't. Ladies, we got to take that word out. We got to take those words out. We got to take that word out of our, the I can't needs to come out of our vocabulary. By his strength, I can. Replace it with that. By his strength, I can overcome this addiction. By his strength, I can overcome this circumstance. By his strength, I can overcome my body. By his strength, I can overcome my feelings. Because he either can or he can't. See, because he will, but you've got to settle it in your mind. And there's no middle ground. He either can or he can't. Because he will. He will. You got to know he can and he will. Speak to your mountains by faith. Tear down those strongholds. Get the word of God in you. Folks, this year is going to be I am strong. I am strong. Not because of what I do, but because of who he is. Because of his strength in me, I can leap over any wall. I can crush any army by my God. I want you to get this. I want you to get this. I want you to walk it out. And I want to go to our retreat this year and have everybody already be overcomers. I want everybody to already be on a mountain when we get there. And what greatness are we going to experience if that's what it's like? If we're already overcomers when we get there, what's that going to look like? If we're already victorious when we get there, what's that year going to look like? It's going to be amazing and awesome is what it's going to look like. And if you will do this, if you will begin to change your mindset, if you begin to change your words, if you begin to change your thinking, you will experience a year like never before. And the Lord just told me that during worship. That this can be your best year yet. Seriously, this can be the greatest year of your life if you will begin to do these things. If you will begin to think differently and speak differently and get that word of God in you and believe that you can do all things in his strength, it will be your best year yet. It will be a great year. Amen? I did want to take some time. And I was trying to see how many people are here. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. I wanted to split up into some groups, and I printed off the victim mindset, and I want you and your groups to look at it again. And I would like you to be honest with each other and share something maybe you're struggling with, right? Share something you're struggling with. Share something that is going on in your life so that we can start putting this victorious mindset into place. Okay? I'm going to go like, let's do like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like that. Can you guys count? Good. And then all the ones will get together. All the twos will get together. Threes. I didn't mean it like that. So sorry. let's do six. So